Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Loving friends, this is another fantastic episode of Liberty Unites with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Nate Thurston. Across from me is Mr. Charles Chuck Thompson. How's it going today, Charles Chuck Thompson?
I know it's nighttime, but it feels like morning.
It feels like that's how alive and rejuvenated I feel.
I feel like I just woke up ready to, you know, take on the day.
Like Malone, you took
and I have all this hope.
You took like a 6-hour nap.
I have all this hope that you have in the morning before the day gets at you, you know? That's what I feel like right now at night.
So, Nate and Charlie, once again, if it's your first time listening to us, thank you for checking this out, for hanging out with us. We're hanging out with our live group who's on the Discord right now, the private Discord, joingml.com. They're in the Fed Haters Club, all right? They're not honorary members. They're each paying at least $6 a month, sometimes more, depending on how much they care about liberty and the future of humanity.
Yep.
And so we judge that by how much they choose to pay every month. So anyway, if it's your first time listening, go find us on your podcast app, our normal podcast, which is called Good Morning Liberty. And Liberty at Night, along with all of the other great Free Talk Live shows, can be found on your podcast app under Free Talk Live.
Not Stitcher anymore, I don't think.
Not Stitcher.
I think they got rid of that.
If that's your favorite, there's a bug flying around. There's a bug flying around here. Okay. Anyway, it's Tuesday. We're going to talk about Tuesday things. But first, yesterday was Milton Friedman's birthday. And before the show, we listened to one of his greatest videos, which was a segment called iPencil. And that's a really great one. I wanted to play one selfishly. What is my favorite clip from Milton Friedman? And it's not the one that you think it's going to be. It's not even the one from Phil Donahue, which, of course, is an amazing clip. All right. That's, I would say, one of the ones he's most known for. What I want to play is my favorite one that I think applies to the situation we're in today. As we see all these things that government officials are doing that we hate. And we keep thinking that we are going to elect the perfect person who's going to be in office for a single term or maybe two terms. And then everything's going to be great after that, as long as we keep the right people in power. And Milton, like 50 years ago, was doing this speech and explained to people how that doesn't need to be your goal. All right. But in all seriousness, we'll play. This is like a 30-second clip of Milton Friedman talking about how it's not about getting the right people, whether it's. He's not talking about these people, but Trump or DeSantis or Biden or Ramaswamy or whoever it is, or libertarians into office. All right. What matters is that politicians, they react to the incentives that we place in front of them. And what they care about most is keeping their job. They want to win re-election. And these people are basically hollow shells of human beings that go in there and say yay or nay. That's essentially what they do.
Well, they pass off most of their job to all these agencies that
are
created.
And what do we do about the agencies? Well, maybe we get the perfect person in power that's going to remove those agencies, too. Or we make it known that this is what the people want. The people who don't do this don't get elected. It's actually all up to us. It's up to the society and the American people to create that. It could be the same people. It could be Trump or it could be Biden. Biden could do the things that you want. As long as it's what the people want him to do, because he wants to keep his job for as long as humanly possible. All right. Which for him, I think.
Until death.
Until death to his part with Biden. That's good. Anyway, let's listen to Milton's 34-second clip.
I'm surprised his son's escapades haven't killed him. I mean, the amount of stress that would cause.
Well, that's the benefit of having dementia. You know, you don't really know what's going on. I'm sure someone who was all there,
Ted Lasso, be a goldfish.
Yeah, he doesn't get, he forgets about it immediately.
Be a goldfish, 8-second memory.
All right, here's Milton talking about this. 34 seconds, Milton, go.
We must not kid ourselves into thinking that we're going to remedy it by the easy way of electing the right people to office. That will not work. Once they get into office, they're going to be subject to the same pressures and the same drives as the people we might regard as the wrong people. In fact, I have often said that the right solution is not to elect the right people to office, but to make it politically profitable for the wrong people to do the right thing.
Make it politically profitable for the wrong people to do the right thing.
And I have paraphrased and misquoted that so many times on the show, but
say it five times and now you'll never do it again.
Wrong people, right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not going to get the perfect people in office ever. And in fact, even if we do get the perfect people, they're going to mess it up too, because they're human beings and they're subject to the same pressures. And if the people want something else, and if they're going to lose their job immediately, or they're going to get impeached because the people who impeach them are going to keep their jobs if they impeach them, it's not going to matter.
And if the right people think that they're so benevolent, right, that they're going to get in and do the right thing, now they may be able to do some things, but that's so egotistical, you know, to not look at what the incentive structures are. You know, I would say I think even Trump tried to do some of the right things and then still succumb to some of the pressure.
And what do we know about Trump? Do you think Trump is a very principled conservative? He just lives out his principled conservative values, you know, or did he change a little bit so he could win election as a Republican and become the president? And he said some of the right things that people would like and they would go vote for him. And it's a great example. I would say you saw a big change in Donald Trump from the time that he was the Donald Trump that we all knew before he was a politician, from the time that he was the president. He just wanted to get elected. And I want everyone to keep that in mind as we go through some of the following stories, because we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. And it can seem like, oh, we got to get rid of this guy, or we got to get rid of this guy, we got to get someone in there who's going to just hit the delete button on things like this. And that's fine too. But what's most important is that we change, and that the people around us change, and that we have sort of a moral awakening in our society.
We create a system, which is what the free market is, essentially, that forces wrong people to do the right thing.
It does. If they want to stay in business, they do. They have to do the right thing, which is provide value.
You got to do the right thing. So create the incentive structure for the right thing to happen. And it doesn't matter who gets in power. We've talked about this so many times on the podcast. It's not about the people.
Mm-mm.
It's about the system.
So without any further talking on this subject, I want to get to the first story that I think is ridiculous. And it has to do with John Kerry. And he's out there talking about climate change. He's our climate czar or whatever. He's the U.S. special presidential envoy for climate.
So this is the Al Gore.
It's a big task, you know, speaking on behalf of the climate and the president at the same time.
Is this the Al Gore of millennials?
Yeah, although Al Gore, I would find him riveting compared to John Kerry talking about things.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that people got to eat. Well, wouldn't you know it, John Kerry was out there talking about one of the big things that we got to tackle here, climate emissions. And what he's speaking on here, agriculture, because that's where a lot of our emissions come from. And so we got to start. Could be cow poo. It could be even the way that we grow our food. Could be some of the food that we're growing. Well, we got to have these governments around the world coming together, including in the United States, tackling this farmer crisis. Because, well, I'll let him tell it. It's his lie. I'll let him tell it.
He looks dead. I got to be honest with you.
I think he did die a few years ago, actually.
Wow.
You're right about that.
Look at his eyes.
There's something wearing his body, but I'm not sure what's going on. Here we go.
Agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but it's anywhere from 26 to 33. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. But with a growing population on the planet, we just crossed the threshold of 8 billion fellow citizens around the world. We just crossed that in this last year. Emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by mid-century on the current course that we are today. A 2-degree future could result in an additional 600 million people not getting enough to eat.
All right, now, I want to explain this to you. We have to tackle agriculture because there's too many emissions to stop climate change. Because if we don't stop climate change, we won't have enough food. So we need to tackle the people that are food. Yes.
Yes. So we need to get rid of the food so we have enough food.
If we don't prevent the rapid production of enough food for billions of people, then people won't have enough food.
Mm. That makes total sense.
All right.
And you just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. Doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system to keep the 1.5 degrees alive. Why do we have to keep 1.5 degrees alive? Because scientists, as a basis of physics and mathematics, not ideology and politics or party labels or anything else, as a matter of physics and mathematics and some biology and chemistry, have told us these are the consequences. And we already see it happening. And almost everything they've predicted for 30-plus years now is coming true, but the problem is it's coming through faster and bigger than was in fact predicted.
You just say it.
What?
Almost everything.
What have they predicted has come true? Name one thing.
Can someone actually try and name one thing for us right now?
What's one thing? Am I ignorant to this?
Yes, apparently. We all are.
What's one prediction they made that has come true?
My God.
Are the Hamptons underwater?
And if,
is New York? Am I missing something?
You know what another very popular prediction was? That we wouldn't be able to grow enough food to support this many people on the planet.
That was when there was like 4 or 5 billion.
Yeah. And then even in the 70s with the population bomb. Whose book was that? I keep wanting to say Paul Ehrlich is his name. I can't remember if that was him or not. But this Malthusian idea that there's too many people
on
the planet.
Well, Ehrlich got a bunch of garbage predictions.
There's too many people on the planet, and so we have to do something to hold the population down because we're not going to be able to support this many people. And he says we already see it. Are we producing less food now than we did last year? No. And he says that it's going to get warmer, and so we're not going to be able to produce food. In fact,
we have had the hottest years on record.
Yes, that is true.
There's more hurricanes than there have been since like the 1930s or something like that.
It's just, and when you do this,
so I guess those are the predictions.
What bothers me is when you do this, you leave out, and now he brings up science. Why do we know this? Because scientists have said, and not because of ideology or politics. This is just pure science, Charlie. Mm. As we know, scientists are never captured by political ideologies or political parties or governments. And when the governments are the ones put forward the money to pay specific scientists to do specific studies about things. We know this because of scientists, but they ignore science on food production, which, let's say it gets a little bit warmer. They got crops now. I mean, they change the freaking makeup of these seeds. Some people don't like that, but you get a little bit warmer climate. Well, buy this bag of seed. It's, you know what it says? A little bit of warmer climate. Seed is what it says. You just buy that. Is it drier over here? Well, buy the little bit of drier, warmer climate seeds.
And you know what else is crazy? That in North America, there's now more forests in North America than there ever have been.
I know.
Largely due to the climate getting a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
Things just move up a little bit.
What's so interesting, when I was thinking about that this morning, actually, because I was listening to, Apocalypse Never on the way here.
I was actually listening to that a couple of days ago.
And it really is weird how Earth could figure out a way to work all this out, because as it gets a little bit warmer, it makes it to where things can grow a little bit more. Actually, carbon, this bad stuff destroying us, well, that's plant food.
Oh, yeah.
And so you actually can get more plants at that time.
Plant air.
Those are also carbon scrubbers from the atmosphere.
You know, when a plant is in the ICU and they're on the ventilator.
Yes.
It's not oxygen they're pumping to those leaves. No, that's carbon.
No.
But they got them hooked up.
Straight
to
carbon.
Carbon
right,
dioxide.
Right into their veins. Just carbon line right in there.
That's right.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people calling for Biden to officially declare a climate crisis and use executive order, a climate emergency, which is something that conspiracy theorists have been saying for years. Those crazy, crazy kooks have been out there saying for years that they were going to use emergency declarations to control energy and food production and all of that, just like they use things during COVID. And we're getting really close to that. And as you keep force feeding this narrative that we're in the hottest year for Earth on record, going dating back to 1978 when they started officially putting together the numbers for Earth, then people are going to buy it eventually. We switched over this year. The big thing that I noticed that we've talked about is we switched over to using the heat index numbers a lot. Have you heard?
Not the actual
temperature. I have never seen so many articles about the heat index before. What it feels like, which is because that's a much higher number.
Well, also what it feels like is the most important. Feeling what you feel.
Temperatures don't care about your feelings. Yeah. That's the problem. The thing is, so it's actually not that far off from what you're saying. I looked into how they calculate the heat index. It's a very subjective, random calculation. It's mainly
a survey. They said that.
What do you feel like it is today?
I am feeling like about 129 out there, Mike.
It's temperature and humidity mainly, but it's also calculated based on people's body mass index, the surface area of your body, and how much you're sweating out, and what your body feels like the temperature is. And they use like an average aggregate human body to decide what this index number is. It's a very subjective calculation that might not even align with the majority of the population.
Science, though.
And we're going to talk, we have other climate stuff that's going to be in the show tonight, because this is Liberty at Night right now. But I think they're going to end up doing some of this climate emergency BS, and people need to be on the lookout. You need to read some of these good books like Apocalypse Never and False Alarm, and so you can be on your toes while they're trying to force feed you all of this information. And when they're telling you, oh, we have so many people dying from heat, you know, that this many people are going to die from heat. You got to remember, way more people die from cold. And so it's not that climate change or hotter temperatures are a net benefit for Earth, but when it comes to temperature-related deaths, they are a net benefit because way more people die from the cold than die from the heat. So shut that one down immediately, which means you don't care about people dying from heat, you know.
Well,
that's how it is.
So we're against death. I don't like people dying from anything. You know, climate change, heat, cold, viruses, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring up a good point that as the earth gets warmer, as the earth gets irmer,
mm-hmm.
you know
that's
what I'm
how
saying?
I said it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Then less people are going to die from cold, which is a good thing. I'm just so tired of this garbage. Like, why can't we just talk about the truth? You know, there's all of these, like, they put these spins, and it's all for power. Of course it is. It's all to grab power. And he's trying to say it's not partisan, or it's not this, or it's not tied to ideology. It absolutely is, because
also tied to money.
And money. And mm-hmm. when you skew the numbers like this, it's you have an agenda behind it. Like, let's just transparently talk about the truth. Nate and I for a long time have said that that humans probably do have some effect, a little bit of effect. And that's simply just because we're taking carbon out of the ground and we're releasing it into the air. Now, does that mean that humans are going to cause this global catastrophe? Absolutely not, because the science doesn't put it there.
It doesn't.
Like, even if, let's say humans were to actually raise the temperature like 4 or 5 degrees.
Fahrenheit?
Centigrade.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That still wouldn't cause a global catastrophe.
And there's also things that we can do to adapt that are far better. And one of the problems, you said, you know, of course it's ideology. And of course we can't just have rational conversations about this. That's why I love some of these books. You know, Michael Schellenberger, Apocalypse Never. Michael Schellenberger believes that human beings are causing some climate change. And you read this book, and it just takes apart all of these disastrous climate change narratives. because no one is doing anything that could actually solve the problem. That's what's so important. You know, we read that that tweet. Later, we'll be reading this tweet about the girl who wants to ban golf courses and private jets and do weight limits or, you know, weight-based fees for cars to registration.
Tweet. Yeah.
Really, really good tweet. Can't wait to show it to you here in a bit.
She's solving climate change.
Yeah. The thing is, none of the plans that people are putting forward are going to do anything. And so not only do we argue about whether or not human beings are causing climate change, not only do we argue about these little things like golf courses or planes or whatever, where we talk about funding and whether or not we should have the right to set our thermostats wherever we want or buy the water heater that we want. We're not even talking about the fact that we can't even agree on that. Then you got to talk about the fact that the things people are proposing aren't even projected to do anything about it. Like, no, if they do it perfect, if all the governments around the world were perfect, virtuous angels who enacted every policy. And remember what that entails. Not only do you have to, say, sign a law. Biden signed the law. Okay? Not only does he have to sign a law, then the next president that comes into office has to not touch the law. And then the next one has to not touch the law. And then for the next 40 or 50 years, they have to not change anything about what those laws are.
The law.
They have to enforce
it. And all the other governments around the world have to do the same thing for the next 50, 60, 80 years.
And never change. It only worked. It wouldn't work anyway, but it would only work if you had a one world government that was ruling every single thing and making decisions for everyone at the same time.
Well, now you're a kook.
That's the only way that it would feasibly work if it were even a real thing that could solve the problem in the first place.
Now you're just a kook,
man. Which it's not, but I'm saying that's what you have to do.
Mm.
And so we... That's why I think it's good to let your guard down and say, okay, sure, human beings, we listen, there's a balance of nature. Without human beings here, or let's just say we hadn't developed technology or whatever, there's a balance of carbon and we die and it goes into the ground and then some of it, you know, could get burned or whatever, it goes back in the atmosphere, trees grow, all this stuff. Earth kind of naturally works like this. Okay, I know. Earth kind of naturally works like this. So we could say, sure, in the past 100 years, have we upset that natural balance that Earth had for a long time compared to what it was for the 4.5 billion years previously? Sure, I'm sure we threw off the rate at which things were going into the atmosphere. But if we're going to change that, we'd have to even talk about things that would work. And we're not even doing that. We're not even talking about freaking nuclear energy, which is the thing that would stop almost all the energy around the world from polluting the atmosphere. And the people who pretend to care about it happen to be against nuclear energy, the thing that would take away the most amount of carbon from the atmosphere. Because it's not about that.
And the technology now is available where they could actually burn the waste.
Yeah, they can use nuclear. And people will say, whoa, well, this creates too much waste. Watch the freaking documentaries. It uses the waste to make the energy. All right, I'm pounding the table talking about this. All right.
Because it's time to wake up.
Coming up, we're going to talk about Cori Bush and the...
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump has been indicted in connection with the January 6th Capitol riot. Prosecutors say his efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election contributed to that riot. This marks the second time the Department of Justice has indicted Trump. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis invited Vice President Kamala Harris to Florida to set the record straight over the African-American curriculum controversy.
Now seeing this Kamala Harris lie exposed about Florida's high school curriculum, she tried to demagogue something that had been done by a lot of black history scholars consistent with Florida law.
Harris, speaking in Orlando today, declined the invitation while continuing to criticize the curriculum. A new poll shows President Biden and former President Trump tied in a 2024 general election rematch. The New York Times Siena College poll shows both candidates receiving 43% of the support. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What's up, y'all? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, talking to you about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning. Charlie and I have a daily podcast called Good Morning Liberty. You can find that on your favorite podcast app. Or if you want to listen to this whole show, tonight's whole show, on a podcast app, then you can go find Free Talk Live. We talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning instead of happiness, because we think that pursuing a meaningful life is the most important thing. Happiness comes and goes from time to time. But as long as you have meaning and purpose, like we do, like fighting for individual liberty, for limited government, for more personal freedom, then you can make it through. You can make it through anything. We are free market, unapologetically free market enthusiasts. We think the market knows best. And we don't like all the government intrusion. That's why we're about to talk about light bulbs. I know you're sad about it. You don't need me to tell you. But the incandescent light bulb is no more.
Mm.
All right. Now, that is the light bulb that began all the light bulbs. That's the
father of light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Starting in August, Americans will only be able to purchase LED lights from retailers across the nation as an official ban on incandescent light bulbs will be in full effect.
And this is like a ban.
Look at your country looking out for you, folks.
It's for you. Now, we already had a thing with incandescents, by the way, where they weren't able to manufacture them. They became way more expensive. They used to be like 30, 40 cents a bulb, and they spiked up to a couple bucks a bulb. Of course, the cheap ones you could get increased by like 300% in cost. And that's because they weren't able to manufacture them. You could still sell them. but you couldn't manufacture them. Now, you can't make them and you can't sell them. They are going to be an illicit substance, essentially.
Going to be on the black market.
This is an illicit product that you're going to have a fine per bulb if you are caught.
Just imagine.
As a retailer selling these.
Imagine walking down the street in New York, and the guy comes up to you in his jacket. He's like, hey, man, you want a little bit of weed? You want some cocaine?
Mm-hmm.
How about a light bulb?
There you go. Bulbs. I got bulbs.
I got bulbs.
You can try them out. They're all working.
Loose cigarettes, jewels, and bulbs, baby.
Soft white. You need soft white. I got that.
Yeah.
Daylight. 75 watt right here. Pure.
This is so ridiculous. Incandescent light bulbs have been providing light in American homes since the 1800s when Thomas Edison patented the bulbs. But now the nation has evolved into a more energy efficient society. And LED lights have become the new norm. Then just let them become the new norm. Why do you have to ban them?
It's actually better when they become the new norm naturally because they have to compete with price. And what they've been doing is...
And look, I got to tell you something. Like, we just built this house, right? And there's a lot of LED lights in here. And several of them have already gone out. I thought they were supposed to last for like 10 years.
They're not that we have to replace them in our household.
It's ridiculous.
Lacey just said this last week. She's like 25 years. My, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, we have replaced this twice in the last like 6 months.
I think there's a switch inside these LEDs and they just like flip them off. Yeah.
And GE hits a button that makes like a certain percentage of them pop.
Yeah. The federal government's warning started in January and have been getting progressively more aggressive as they want to make sure Americans don't go back in time. How heroic. These people. The government announced a ban on the manufacturing and selling of incandescent bulbs, saying it will help Americans save money and help the environment, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The DOE, the Department of Energy, said LED lights provide more light using 75% less energy than incandescent lights. Take that, Thomas Edison.
Idiot.
LEDs also last about 25 times longer.
Now,
That's what every guy says, too.
LEDs are better. They're better than incandescent.
Depends on what kind of light do you want.
They're more durable, you know. You drop a regular bulb, filament can kind of break, you know.
I'm not saying I hate LEDs.
Yeah.
All right, I like LEDs. We have plenty of LEDs.
There's LEDs all over the place
now. LEDs all over in this house, you know. I like them outside. I like them inside.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like that extremely soft... you know, yellow light that you can't get with an LED. You basically can't. I should have bought more, but I bought a bunch of those extremely warm lights because, and sometimes in the living room, I have it pop on I've got it hooked up to a timer. Well, not a timer. I got it hooked up to my home kit. And at sunset, I have an automation set up. At sunset, it pops on. And then at midnight, it goes off.
Yeah.
And it's just like when nothing else is on, it's just this really warm light at night. It's so comforting. It's like a warm glass of milk. You know? And then you're.
Glass of light.
You're laying back in your chair.
Yeah.
With your feet kicked up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Watching your favorite TV shows.
Must be nice.
You know?
Must be nice. And you know what? The really warm ones, like the Edison bulbs? Like
yes.
Those? Yeah.
Like super warm, like yellow.
I gotcha.
It's just, it's very comforting.
All right.
You know, and you're watching Righteous Gemstones, you know?
Let me tell you about something that I found while I was reading about this. Halogen bulbs and compact fluorescent lights will also be banned. Now, they're not, I don't think they're in full ban effect, but they're in the phase-out period right now. So CFLs. You guys ever seen CFLs? There's those spirally death traps that they sell to you. You know, a little spiral bulb?
Oh, where terrible. You break one part of it,
you break
shatters.
It, and everyone in the room dies immediately. Mm. Is basically what those feel like. So you don't want to break those things. They're phasing those out as well. Those are getting banned. Now you know what's interesting about this, Charlie, is that when they first started regulating these light bulbs, and this was a Bush law. This was in 2007, and then Obama stepped it up. They were trying to push people to those compact fluorescent lights. LEDs were still really expensive at that time because they were kind of new. And they were trying to push people to the compact fluorescent lights because they use less energy. And you know what Republicans were saying at that time? they were saying that this was going to increase the cost of light bulbs and that they were trying to push people to CFLs, which were dangerous and hazardous for your health. And wouldn't you know it, luckily, PolitiFact fact-checked this back in 2011 about this thing and put out a fact-check talking about how they weren't actually banning your incandescent light bulbs, so you don't have to worry about that, and that they're not trying to push people. Yeah, they're trying to push people to CFLs, but the CFLs are not as dangerous as people are saying, and it's you should be more worried about climate change than the mercury that comes from the CFLs. Okay, so from PolitiFact right here, exactly, Costco. Thank you. If you like your light bulb, you can keep your light bulb. That's what they were telling you at this time.
It was going to save you $2,500 a year.
PolitiFact says banned light bulbs. Is the government saying no to incandescents? And if we go through a little bit of this, to illustrate their point that Democrats are expanding government too much, Republican lawmakers are citing a new law on light bulbs. The law, which sets standards to make the bulbs more efficient and reduce electricity use, has been derided by Michelle Bachmann, Joe Barton, that is Rand Paul, Mike Enzi. Some of these people have just moved on. I don't even know who they are.
Or died.
As Exhibit A of the liberal assault on the free enterprise system. A recent fundraising letter making the rounds from Conservative Political Action Committee warns the Democrats have voted to ban our conventional light bulbs that you use today in favor of dangerous fluorescent light bulbs. Okay, these crazy people. And PolitiFact, by outlawing incandescent lights in favor of compact fluorescent lighting, the environmentalists said the country would reduce energy consumption by $18 billion a year or save consumers between $80 and $180 on their electric bills per year. The letter states,
electric bills have only gone up.
Yeah. It's not going to save it when you keep doing things to make the electric bill, but it would have gone up by more if you're using all regular light bulbs, you see. The letter seeks contributions and support, help put an end to government interference in our lives. It encapsulates many of the arguments put forward by opponents on the new light bulb efficiency standards, and so we decided to check a number of the claims. Now, one of the claims was incorrect in here. They say Democrats have already voted to ban our conventional light bulbs in favor of dangerous fluorescent light bulbs. First off, they're correct, PolitiFact is. It's not accurate to pin the law entirely on Democrats, because they were expanding on a law that was signed by George W. Bush in 2007 called the Energy Independence and Security Act, which was expanding on a law that was signed in 1975. So you got to be careful what power you allow the government to have. More importantly, we found the law does not ban incandescent light bulbs. The law is technology neutral. It just requires new light bulbs to meet efficiency standards.
Yeah.
So it doesn't ban the bulbs. It just sets the standards so high that you can't keep making the bulbs.
Okay. We're not saying that you can't make a peanut butter sandwich without peanut butter. We're just saying that it can't have nuts in it.
Yeah. No nuts. It's true.
That's all we're saying.
It's true that the traditional versions of incandescent light bulbs do not meet the new standards and will be phased out of existence. Compact fluorescent LED bulbs offer more efficient alternatives, but if incandescent light is your thing, the major light bulb makers have you covered. They're now selling halogen incandescent bulbs that meet the new efficiency standards. So they ruled this claim pants on fire because they're not banning incandescent bulbs. They just set the standard so high that the incandescent bulbs can't be made. And also now, you see what happens over time? This is in 2011. Now they're taking building from this exact same thing on top of it, and outright banning, to where it will be illegal for you to sell them.
Tomorrow.
You are a light dealer at that time.
And this is how they gaslight you.
Literally. Do. But this is what happens
about
over
light
time.
Bulbs.
Anytime, and so they do it like right now. We've been talking about the lantern
is flickering. All right.
We talk about the water heater thing, or we talk about gas stoves, or the pizza ovens in New York, and everyone's like, oh, they're not banning. They're just setting this qualification.
Guns.
This qualified guns.
Like, oh no, they're not coming for all your guns. They're not going to do it.
Yeah. There's nothing in the act that requires you to get rid of the light bulbs you've got. Rather, the bill sets standards for new light bulbs manufactured or imported to the U.S. Not only can people keep using their existing bulbs, stores can continue to sell the old ones. And so at this time, it was a lie when they said that stores would not be able to continue selling them. But now they've expanded on this, and stores cannot continue selling them. You see, sometimes when people come up with these ideas people like us, libertarians, will come out and say, well, that is going to mean that they're going to do this. And since they're not currently specifically doing that thing, then someone like PolitiFact can come out and say, well, that's not what they're doing right now. This is a lie. Well, no, you just look at history. You look at what the government does. You look at what direction they're headed, what this is going to lead to. And, yeah, it's going to lead to them banning it, of course. Now, what do they have to say about what are you looking up right now?
But something this has reminded me of that I think is so important. Mm-hmm. It's literally probably one of my favorite speeches.
Yeah.
Of all time, which is give me liberty, give me death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. You want to make this point now?
Later, the letter claims the new light bulbs will cost roughly six times the cost of the light bulbs we now use. That comes from a U.S. News and World Report story, which states each cone-shaped spiral CFL costs $3 compared with 50 cents for a standard bulb. Now, they want you to know that there are two costs to a light bulb. There's the front-end cost when you go to buy it, and then there's the back-end cost. That's the electricity to operate it. So the letter fails to consider the savings to consumers in the form of lower electric bills, which are all totally made up numbers based on random averages of how much light people use.
Can anyone, is there anyone out there where their electric bill has gone down?
No.
I feel like I've been paying around $150 a month, $200 a month, somewhere around there for the last like 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've never been like, oh, my electric bill went down. Must have been those new bulbs.
This is the funny one. Here's the funny one. Part of the thing that they were trying to fact check was that Republicans were saying, this is in 2011, that they were pushing people towards compact fluorescent light bulbs that are dangerous. And PolitiFact says, oh, well, that's not, come on, that's ridiculous. Here's their fact check. Compact fluorescent light bulbs do contain a small amount of mercury, which is a toxic substance. But government and environmental officials say the risk they pose is very small, particularly if the light bulbs are disposed of properly and cleaned up properly if one shatters. Moreover, the dire warnings from opponents of the law fail to acknowledge that there's a price to pay for sticking with less efficient traditional incandescent light bulbs. The bulbs require more electricity, and they are powered by coal-fired power plants, which result in even more mercury emitted into the environment. And so we rated the claim half true.
This is a joke institution.
And so you're supposed to be more worried about the overall total mercury amount emitted into the entire atmosphere than you are bulbs breaking inside of your trailer. You know?
Yeah.
You'd be more worried about that air outside. That's a way bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's funny is that they're moving to banning the CFLs, which they were pushing people towards 10 years ago, because they're too dangerous.
Did PolitiFact fact check these?
I haven't looked recently.
No, this whole thing reminds me of Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. And the reason why is because, you know, when liberty people or Republicans or even other folks that are like, oh, this is a slippery slope, right? Like, okay, we're going to start here, and then eventually they're going to keep adding on to this. And like, we know where this ends. And see, that's to me, this is the most important part of Patrick Henry's speech. It doesn't get talked about a lot. It's everybody knows the line, give me liberty, give me death. But what he's really talking about in his petition, you know, basically is what his speech was to say, hey, like, here's my opinion based on the only thing that I know, okay, which is by the past. What are the patterns? Okay, what are you looking at that's currently going on to know what might happen in the future? You look at patterns and being like, oh, I've seen this before. Mm-hmm. I know what's coming. Okay? He says here, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided. I don't know what it was.
I was going to say, you don't have to worry about this anymore because they probably banned that one.
Yeah, this lamp was probably kerosene or something like that.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking about the environment at that time, so you can't really pay attention to that.
And that is the lamp of experience, which has also been banned. I know no way of judging of the future but by the past. And judging by the past, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of the British ministry for the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have been pleased to solace themselves and the House. Is it that insidious smile with which our petition has been lately received? Trust it not, sir. It will prove a snare to your feet. Suffer not yourselves to be betrayed with a kiss. Ask yourselves how this gracious reception of our petition comports with these warlike preparations which cover our waters and darken our land. Our fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation. What he's saying is like, don't be manipulated. You're telling me that the king is saying, oh yeah, you know, it's no problem. It's all good. It's all good, baby. We all good. And then you're like, well, what are these ships doing out here? You got the army coming over or something?
Everyone's drunk.
Patrick Henry's like, bro, come on, man. Like, dude, what? You don't send an army to say, hey, we got your petition. We're considering it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't send, you know, ships and all that. That's what he's saying.
He said y'all are sus, you know.
He's saying y'all, this is sus, man. Yeah. That's exactly what he's saying, you know. Are fleets and armies necessary to a work of love and reconciliation? Have we shown ourselves so unwilling to be reconciled that force must be called in to win back our love? Let us not deceive ourselves, sir. Hey, don't let us gaslight ourselves, is what he's saying. These are the implements of war and subjugation, the last arguments to which kings resort. So that's what this reminds me of. How do we know it's a slippery slope? Well, by judging the past. And you can clearly see it laid out in a light bulb law that's going into effect tomorrow.
It's the exact same thing. But
this applies, I'm just saying, this principle applies to everything in life.
It does.
All kinds of things in life. You can see things, if you pay attention, you can see things coming from a mile away. Don't deceive yourself. You know, you stand in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth matters.
If you, like my granddad used to say, if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ban all the freaking light bulbs except for LEDs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason that saying's been around for so long.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to go through a couple things involving manufacturing and industries. By the way, the GDP came out higher than expected. I think it was like 2.4% or something for Q2. Also, government spending went up 2.6%. Which is part of GDP. 35% of the GDP number right now is government spending.
Mm.
But anyway, not that that matters. Doesn't really matter. There's the Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing company, or TSMC, heretofore referred to as, is demanding that taxpayers cover the higher cost of making semiconductors in Arizona. And the reason I want to talk about this, it's a great article from Reason, but we had this CHIPS Act, right? And we put a lot of billions of dollars, I don't know, like $50 billion or 50, 60, I don't remember what it was, and we're going to support chip manufacturing here in the U.S. Well, TSMC is saying it's too expensive to make chips in the U.S., and we need you guys to cover the cost. Now, they're talking about getting money from the CHIPS Act, and they also they want more money because they're finding that it's even more expensive to do business in the U.S. than they previously thought. They've already got one plant. They're building another one, which, by the way, Biden took credit for. They actually announced the plant and let me see, back in June of 2020, they announced the plant. But Biden took credit for it in December of 2022 when they had their big groundbreaking or whatever it was. But anyway, they're saying that it's too expensive. And they didn't say it was wages or anything like that. They said they don't see access to capital as a barrier either to growth in the U.S. Specific factors making the project more expensive include federal regulatory requirements that have increased the project scope and cost. And they're finding that those are 4 to 5 times more expensive, making it 4 to 5 times more expensive to do business in the U.S.
That's just weird.
Than it was in previous places. And it's not even just wages, because in the grand scheme of things, those can be a small portion when you're talking about spending $40 to $50 billion to build out these plants and do your manufacturing here. And so they're wanting the taxpayers to come in and foot the bill to cover the costs that are imposed on them by the government. And so then the government's going to impose the cost and then take money from the taxpayers and give it to the company so they can offset the costs that the government imposed on the company.
By regulation.
Through regulations. So it's not just the regulations are going to cost you money through higher prices of your products. They also cost you money because now they're giving money to businesses to offset the cost of the regulations.
You do the math.
That's great. And I wanted to point to this one thing before we get out of here. Joe Biden posted this today, or one of his nurses did, said, since President Biden took office, manufacturing has boomed, including 22,000 new jobs in Michigan, 15,000 new in Arizona, 32,000 new in Georgia, 28,000 new in Pennsylvania, 20,000 new in Wisconsin. And Joe Biden says this is made possible.
Those are strange states to pick.
Joe Biden said this is made possible by our historic investments. I'm glad that you picked up on that immediately.
What was that? Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona?
I mean, I'm sure there nothing. It's not what you're thinking, Charlie, which is mainly a conspiracy theory. But what I had to say in response to that was, correction, this is mandated possible by the government's continued looting of your income and redistribution to handpicked corporations offering taxpayer-funded jobs to taxpayers in swing states. That is what's happening.
It's so obvious.
They take your money. They get corporations to go to swing states. They use your money to pay for these companies to come to those states to get jobs and offset the cost of their own regulations in literally specific states where Donald Trump went to court over whether or not there was election interference or whatever.
All okay. Brought to you by Biden. Yes. He's the one that brought these jobs to your state.
It's so obvious. They're not even hiding it. You might as well have a list of swing states to put up there. Okay.
Oh, well, that'll do it, folks. That's all you need to know right there. Just look at that beautiful picture. If you're not watching, you're just listening, you got to go to YouTube. Make sure you subscribe on there as well, and so you can get the video. You can see Nate's beautiful face and all the beautiful slideshows that he puts together for everyone.
Every day is a new slideshow.
Every day. Mm-hmm. This man works his fingernails completely off his hands.
My fingernails to the bed. Coming up, we've got some dumb tweets about climate change. Yes, more of them. And RFK's interview with Sean Hannity on Liberty Night on the Free Talk Live Network.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.